gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. Maybe you want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. We also are still offering parent Zoom support groups. So give us a call to register at 718-758-0400. And remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. You could even call anonymous. So tonight, I am happy to have on with us two individuals that are in work at Mariah Behavioral Health, which we've had on many times in the past when they were under the name Ignite Rehab, which is Mendy Barron's place. So I would like to welcome you on tonight, and that is the group specialist, Yasmin Jacobs. I'd like to welcome you, and I'd like to welcome on also the alumni program supervisor, which is Hannah Rawson. Welcome, both of you. How are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. Doing well.
Good. So we want to speak today. It's June. I can't believe it's June. But June is PTSD Awareness Month. And I know you're dealing with teenagers at Mariah. First, I'd like one of you to please tell us about Mariah.
Hannah, do you want to go or should I go?
Yasmin, you got this.
Okay. Mariah Behavioral Health actually has two divisions. We have an eating disorder outpatient division, and then we have residential sites for teenagers with mood and anxiety struggles. So we support teenagers who require more of a 24/7 support with BHT, which are behavioral health technicians, 24/7 around to support for any safety concerns. It is not locked and we are a hands-off facility, but we do provide support for teenagers who need that extra help that the parents just don't have the training or ability to be able to be that 24/7 with an individual child. And the hope is that they're able to return to the home environment and be successful back with the families.
Yes, and MASK has sent many young adults to your program and have been successful at the program. But of course, we always say it is not just for the young adults to go to a program, but the parents must be involved both in Mariah's parent engagement vision, and which is by Zoom still, and in MASK parent support groups so that they learn what their loved one is learning at the inpatient program, so that they can be successful with when their loved one returns home. Yes. So Let's go to the PTSD Awareness Month that we're in June. And let's speak about what PTSD is and how it affects adolescents. And I must add that today, with being the, you know, what's going on with the brush fires in Canada, moving the air quality down to New York being so horrible that they're telling us not to go outside, I know that a lot of people have a lot of PTSD right now going on. So let's talk first generally about PTSD, please.
Hi. So when it comes to PTSD, it can happen for experiencing or witnessing even a traumatic event where, you know, in the post-COVID era where, you know, a lot of people had to isolate. So it's completely understandable that, you know, individuals are experiencing that PTSD from having to engage in that isolation in their homes. But teens specifically may respond to trauma differently than adults do to their developmental stage and their sometimes limited coping skills and emotional regulations. And they may respond differently to trauma. As everyone will, because not everyone, even if everyone's experiencing the same thing, everyone's responses are going to be different.
So why don't you describe how my teens respond differently based on different types of traumatic experiences, please?
So some teens may engage in some isolation, so going into their rooms, playing video games all day, sleeping at odd hours, like sleeping during the day and awake at night. Some teens may act out by going out, engaging in drug use. Some may be, you know, engaging what seems like normally, but secretly engaging in self-injurious behavior. We might see some eating disorder behavior or disordered eating. Often it's seeing what maybe the little differences in your child, because every child is different, right? And you can see sometimes a mood shift, and sometimes it's really hard to tell. And it's allowing your child, having the conversations with them like, hey, I'm a safe person to come to, because children aren't normally afraid of their parents, but they might be nervous on what the response may be because they feel a lot of self-guilt when they're engaging in a lot of these behaviors because they don't understand what's going on.
So let's speak about parents and how they do respond to these behaviors, because most parents think, oh, their kids are just acting out.
Yeah, so I have the privilege at Mariah of working with a lot of the parents one-on-one. And so they can come to us with a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear as to how their kiddo is responding to PTSD symptoms, whether it's isolating, kind of like Yasmin said, or whether it's acting out in other ways behaviorally. But we try to tell our parents not, you know, to be too anxious and to really let the professionals step in and let them help their child, because sometimes parents, you know, want to be the fixers and want to help their children, but you need to know when it's time to let the professionals step in and help with those PTSD symptoms.
And that is why at MASC, we suggest that parents go to a parent support group, which MASC still is offering by Zoom Sunday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld, Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackman, once a month, Tuesday night, Dr. Trish Atia, Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Bencion Twersky. So anyone that wants to go on to the Zoom groups, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. And we do say that if you change the music in your home, your kids' dance steps could change. So come learn different ideas and techniques so that you can have a better response in whatever mental health struggles your loved one may be going through. It's more important to learn what not to do than what to do. So let's go back to rehab. And Mariah is an inpatient program, and kids are acting out at home. Parents then trust Mariah, send their loved ones to you. And parents want to know, when they arrive, how do they give up their dangerous behaviors, whether it's self-mutilation, suicide ideation. So talk about what happens when the teenager arrives at Mariah and what happens first when it comes to these, you know, different behaviors.
So Mariah, our residential homes are actual homes. So we get to replicate the home environment to help, to help replicate the home environment. So they come in, we try to do a soft landing. They'll come in, do admission paperwork. And that week we'll start with family therapy sessions. So we're including the family immediately. And we have also two individual sessions weekly, plus a full day of group sessions where we're addressing all the behaviors clients can be experiencing. We have the clients on a level system. So, you know, we're keeping extra eyes on them, especially at that beginning stage, you know, helping them find that motivation within themselves using this level system to recognize that they deserve a life without the behaviors that they're experiencing and engaging in. And just with each individual case, having that individual support, but also recognizing that they're not alone in their struggle, that there are other individuals their age may not be going through the same thing, but they can come together as a cohort and reach recovery together.
So let's talk about trust issues, you know, following the trauma, and even trust issues coming to Mariah and trusting the other teenagers in group to share. What do you typically see happening with these teens and their ability to trust others, whether it's at Mariah or once they start healing with people, you know, in the world at large?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a process. When a client comes in, it takes us, could be days to weeks, to build rapport with them and start that relationship. Kind of just like anyone out in the real world, you probably don't feel comfortable going up to someone right away and talking about your complex trauma and past and PTSD. So we allow them some time to become comfortable in the milieu, and you know, within days to a week, they become more comfortable not only with the staff, but with their peers. And it very much feels like Yasmin said, like a home environment, and they can be comfortable to process their past and speak about those really, really difficult things. So I would say time is one. And when they can learn to do this in our program, they can then take their skills out into the real world and begin to trust others and work on that rapport building. And kind of, we model those behaviors of what it takes to be a trusting adult in their lives. So yeah, it's definitely a work in progress, but we see it replicated when they go back home in jobs and relationships and all those kinds of things.
Right. And we explain to parents that, you know, you're sending your child to a program, any program, the first month, the first getting used to being there, and they're still kicking and screaming a little. They're not happy to be there, so generally. So they're, you know, when speaking home to their family, their parents, they're like, why am I here? I don't like it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I want to go home. But once their body settles down and they don't have any drugs in them and they're calm and they meet others in the group, in the facility, then they start to feel their body again, which they haven't in a long time usually. And then they can start doing the work, hearing what you have to offer, which are tools to be able to live a drug-free life, or, you know, whatever they're struggling, whatever mental health they're struggling with. So it's really important to realize that it's not a quick fix. You don't go for 28 days and spend $1 million and now you come home and you're better. So we recommend parents to have a minimum of 90 days, not a day less. Because the first month, they're not there happily. The second month, they're starting to feel their body, like I said. And then the third month, they really start to hear, listen, and implement some of the tools that they're learning so that they can start to heal. That doesn't mean that people shouldn't stay longer, but less than 90 days is really not a recommended thing to do. Let's go back to trust. And I think it's important, you know, that rebuilding trust. And why don't you tell my listeners how you help them in some ways to rebuild trust?
So in general, the best way to help rebuild trust is to really listen to the kid on what part of the trust they felt was broken and to build from there, because a lot of time they feel their trust was broken in the sense that, you know, I trusted you and then you sent me to this place, which they don't understand that their parents are sending them somewhere for them to be so successful in their futures. And that it's not a punishment to go for treatment and recovery. So it's really hearing out the kid and addressing, you know, hey, this is what recovery is, and helping them understand with psychoeducation how this can be beneficial for the rest of their lives and how they may feel like a lot of trust is broken, but just being there and, you know, calling your kid every day during phone times and attending the family session, sending a care package. We send like a little thing of what like can be sent in a care package that would be safe for the kiddos. And really just being there helps rebuild the trust.
I do want to say that every rehab has different rules about what is allowed in a care package. So before anyone's sending a care package to a rehab, make sure that the things you're sending is approved. I want to talk about bullying. Bullying is a tremendous pain that could happen in second, third, fourth grade, as young as that, that can stay with a person literally a lifetime. So let's describe about bullying developing into PTSD symptoms, please. Give us some scenarios that parents can look for in their teen, you know, for trauma response.
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest things nowadays is probably cyberbullying, people online, talking to others that are, you know, not being nice, whether it's racist or other things like that, and just blatantly making fun of people, shaming people. We do get a lot of clients that are victims of bullying, and it usually turns into either an inward presentation of depression, anxiety, or outward lashing out at others. So we see a little bit of both of those. And then when they come into treatment, we are working kind of like Yasmin said on rebuilding trust. But I would say some of the PTSD symptoms could be depression, anxiety, lashing out. Isolation is a big one, right? If no one likes me, I'm probably going to stay in my room and not want to talk to others. Could develop into some social anxiety, not wanting to go out due to fear of others rejecting me or shaming me. I would say we do see a lot of that, and that's another great thing about our program is our clients are surrounded by peers and they can practice in real life dealing with those situations and building good peer connections to avoid bullying in the future, I would say.
Well, you know, teens are not always able to recover from the bullying for many, many years, many treatments. Sometimes they're really frightened. They really have deep PTSD from that. So, what is it you recommend for parents to understand the way that trauma should be treated when coming to, PTSD like this?
Well, it's a process. The bullying didn't happen overnight. It was something that happened persistently most of the time for either days, months, or years. So we can't expect someone who, let's say they've been bullied from the third grade to the fifth grade, to have full recovery within 90 days. Just like when we get sick, we might get sick overnight, but it takes our body 5, 6 days to recover. So really allowing the kid to recognize, hey, you have these coping skills, and have the parent sit with their child, and there's safety plans. We do home planning before the kids go home, relapse prevention planning, and have the family do the recovery together. Because the residential level of care is really to make sure that the kiddo is safe to return home, but that doesn't mean that the recovery is complete. And it's going to take a family healing for the time to pass that the kiddo gets the recovery that they need.
Absolutely. And parents need to change themselves. It's not only about the young adult. Our reactions to what the young adult's going through takes time to change as well. So again, anyone that wants to join a parent support group, please call us 718-758-0400. And our groups have been running. We're in our 26th year. We've already serviced over 120,000 families at MASC. So give us a call. The therapists are available. We are a referral agency around the world that we can give you therapists and rehabs around the world. To meet your needs. Back to you guys. What's the most surprising thing you've learned from working with teenagers? Both of you have been working for Mariah and in other programs. Tell us what you've learned from them, please.
Yeah, I would say that teenagers are really resilient. They're in a time of their life where their brain is still developing and forming and having all of these experiences. And I found that they can go through some really traumatic experiences and come to treatment and work through their trauma and kind of avoid maybe major crises down the line in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond. And I also think that our teenagers are really brave for coming to us and working through this stuff in hopes that it doesn't sort of boil over or explode later on down the line. So I'm surprised every day by, their bravery and resilience and ability to work through things and just, the forward thinking that it takes for them to enter into treatment now and kind of maybe not be doing the things they want as a teenager in hopes of having a happy, healthy adulthood and beyond. So I'm always really proud of our clients. They're great. Yasmin, I'm not sure if you want to share yours. I'm sure you have some good things to say as well.
It's funny, I was going to also say resilience because these kids, every day, they have so many challenges that they're facing that we don't know of. They have flashbacks oftentimes. And or different, symptomology, and they get out of bed every morning, even if they don't want to, and they do the work. And it's really just inspiring every day to come into work and see these amazing kiddos just do amazing changes for themselves and their future.
Now, I want to add that it's so important to address these mental health struggles the younger they are than them getting used to their behaviors, these you know, whether it's self-mutilation, eating disorders, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, because then they get used to those coping mechanisms, they use those negative behaviors, and it's harder to undo. So anyone that has a teenager that is struggling, please call MASK. We will connect you both to Yasmin or Hannah so that you can discuss whatever your child's struggle may be and see whether it's a good fit for them to go to their program, Mariah, which is in Las Vegas, and to Kosher Kitchen. Mandy Barron is the CEO of the program, and we have sent many kids to that program that are, thank God, doing well. So give us a call at 718-758-0400. We're running out of time. I have one last question. What are some of the biggest misconceptions about teens and trauma and mental health in general?
I think the biggest misconception is that they can't move forward from it, that it's always going to stick with them, and they can never let go of those scars. May it be self-harm scars or just emotional scars, but I like to reframe it as, and we like to reframe it in general, as battle scars, and that's their recovery right there, is being able to grow and recognize that they are stronger than anything they've ever been through. And essentially coming at it from like more of a religious perspective, you know, Hashem doesn't put anything that the teen can't move forward from. And these challenges that the kids are facing are only going to make them stronger for anything that happens in their future.
You know, I do want to mention that when I started MASK 26 years ago, it was not recommended to send teenagers to rehab. And look how far we've come. Everybody, so many organizations out there, we're all working towards stigma-free. And there are places now for the young adults to go that shouldn't suffer through all the pain. There is a place to go, and anyone interested, again, give us a call. Don't wait. You don't have to commit. Call just to explore your options, and we can get you to connect with Hannah and Yasmin so that you can get the questions answered for when maybe one day you will be ready to send your loved one. So thank you to both of you and to Mariah for coming on, and I hope we will have you on again soon.
And thank you both. And thank you, MASK, for this opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, still virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of my parents, Mida and Label Stritsky. It is my father's 10th yard site. Thank you and have a good night. If you would like to donate online, please go to maskparents.org so we could continue with all the MASK programs. Thank you.
The tobacco companies don't want you to hear this ad. Nope, they don't want you to know that every New Yorker can get free help from an amazing quit coach to help you start quitting and cheer you on. And they definitely don't want you to know that you can get free and safe nicotine medications like patches and lozenges that can help you reduce your urge to smoke. They don't want you to know because medications and a quit coach can double your chance of success. Call 1-866-NY-QUITS or visit nysmokefree.com today. Go ahead, you can do it.
One overdose can take a life, but one spray of naloxone, one friend who is there, one person who knows help is available, could save it. Fentanyl is making the drug supply more dangerous, and more New Yorkers are dying of overdose than ever before. What you know can save a life. Help keep your community safe by learning about overdose risk and supporting access to life-saving services. Visit nyc.gov/alcoholanddrugs to learn more.